Matt Kent, portfolio manager for the Aberdeen Credit Income Strategies Fund, is here, and we're talking high-yield bonds and bank loans now on The Navigator. Welcome to The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, The Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today, well, we're going in the direction of high-yield income strategies with Matt Kent, who runs the Aberdeen Credit Income Strategies Fund. That's ticker symbol ACP, and if you want to learn more about the firm, well, it's abrdn.com. And then for the fund itself, aberdeenacp.com. To learn more about closed-end fund investing, go to aicalliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. Matt Kent, welcome to The Navigator.
Thanks, Chuck. It's great to be here.
These are some really interesting times when it comes to high-yield bonds and bank loans, because with inflation where it is and transitory, not feeling so transitory right now, playing for yield is a little bit tricky. So help us get the lay of the land first with where we are in these markets in these conditions.
Certainly this summer, we did reach post-crisis tights within the high-yield market. And since then, the market has been buffeted a bit by inflation fears and obviously the increase in volatility we've seen in Treasury yields. So that, you know, it's obviously been something that we've needed to navigate. In addition to that, we've seen really strong supply within the market as well. So we're seeing supply that's going to probably be over $500 billion this year, which would be a record after last year being a record as well. And so obviously the Fed is very focused on their dual mandate, one being, you know, full employment, the other being price stability. And it does seem like they are more focused on the full employment side of things, which, you know, obviously has put fears into the market in terms of inflation. So really what we've been doing within the portfolio is really trying to understand on a name-by-name basis how will a inflationary environment or just the supply chain challenges that are out there impact the credit that we hold.
Does that mean that you're talking to the companies that are issuing high-yield bonds and you're trying to assess on an individual basis how they're going to be affected by inflation? Like, are they caught in the supply chain morass? Is it drilling down at that level, or is it just more broadly inflation generally? Because it's very different if you have a company. I mean, on the one hand, they've got their bonds, and bonds are bonds. But on the other hand, there's inflation at all levels here.
That's a great question. And really, it is. I mean, it is a little bit of both, but, you know, we're very much credit pickers in how we manage this fund. And so we are talking on a company-by-company basis. Like, just to give you some examples, you know, auto OEMs, we actually are relatively constructive on them because they've been able to take pricing. So even though some costs have gone up, able to offset that with pricing. Now, you look at their suppliers, well, effectively they have locked in prices that they sell to the auto companies. Plus, they're impacted by the lower volumes. So they're getting hit on both ends. Even within the auto sector, there's some differentiation between companies based on sort of where they compete within that market. Like cruise lines, for example, which we like here, and they've been seeing a very good recovery, they're pretty insulated by the cost increases. They generally hedge their fuel plus the very small portion of COGS, their cost of goods sold, and then they get most of their labor is sourced from developing countries. So they're not really seeing some of the labor increases that maybe a restaurant is seeing. So restaurants, for example, are getting hit because they're getting higher labor costs, plus they obviously have higher food costs as well, but they aren't necessarily in the sort of competitive environment where they can pass all that on. So again, it's a very much a name-by-name basis in terms of trying to figure out how this is going to impact our portfolio.
What has that done for the portfolio itself? I mean, given what we've got with inflation concerns and what's been happening with rates and everybody looking for yield, what has this done in terms of how you're building or perhaps remaking or changing the portfolio?
So, you know, I did mention the supply that we've had, and that's actually been, I think, a positive in terms of generating ideas for the portfolio. In the initial part of this recovery, you saw a lot of supply, but most of it was for refinancing. So we were able to take advantage of some bonds, particularly right after the crisis at very high coupons and with a lot of security. So those have done well, but now we're sort of in that, those have effectively played out. So now we're in that next phase. And obviously this portfolio needs yield. And so what we've seen is a little bit of a resurgence in the issuance of triple C's and LBOs, some M&A financing, which is a bit lower quality. So we've been able to take advantage of this, the amount of supply, and while being selective, we have been able to pick up some bonds at a higher yield than what we would have been able to capture even earlier this summer. And again, that's twofold. One is because the market is a little bit wider, and secondly, it's just sort of the nature of that issuance. Ultimately, though, we aren't looking to add a tremendous amount of additional yield. We do feel like there is going to be volatility in the market going forward. You know, a lot of it to do with what we just talked about, the market trying to figure out, is this inflationary environment, you know, obviously the word of the year has been transitory. Is it transitory? But I think even more importantly is, what does growth do within that? If you get inflation and growth at the same time, typically high yield performs reasonably well. You know, it is still very much a credit-driven asset class, particularly at the lower end, which is where we typically traffic in this fund. So as long as you get some growth with that, some increased inflation, we're not too worried about. What we're really worried about and focused on is if you get a situation where you have inflation and then obviously growth really slows or lags a bit, obviously referred to as stagflation. That's not definitely our base case at this point, but we do expect there will be volatility around as the market's trying to divine which is really happening here. And so we want to be well positioned to take advantage of that.
Does the structure of running this money in a closed-end fund, does the closed-end fund structure help you out? Does that give you any sort of edge?
Absolutely. I mean, the real advantage of a closed-end fund is the fact that that money is captive. So we don't have to deal with flows in and out of the fund like you would if you're running an open-end, regular way mutual fund. Really what that allows us to do is it allows us to buy stuff that might be less liquid, allows us to buy stuff that we know could be volatile. However, we know that at the end of the day, it's money good. And so really, as long as we don't crystallize losses within the fund by defaults or selling something, you know, well below where we paid for it, it doesn't really have as much of an impact. And so we can be very patient. And so that's why we sort of are holding off to some degree and adding risk and waiting for these opportunities.
And lastly, these are times when high yield is challenged. There are parts of the high yield world where, hey, congratulations, you're getting a high yield on what other people call junk bonds that's barely keeping pace with inflation or lagging inflation. So what do you say to folks who maybe are worried that they should be in high yield or not be in high yield now?
Really, the thing that's going to kill you in high yield is defaults. And right now, the default rate is extremely low. It's around 2%. And the percent of the market that's distressed is at record lows as well. The amount of distressed names, obviously, is usually a precursor to defaults. So we feel really good about that. And there's a few reasons for that. I mean, one is what we talked about earlier is just that high level of issuance that occurred. So companies have been really proactive in taking advantage of these low rates. And they've come back to the market. So they've locked in low interest costs. So their coverage, their ability of their cash flow to cover interest is in very, very good shape. And then secondly, because they've come to the market, they don't have any near-term maturities. All that's been pushed off to the right. So you have this long runway for these companies to be able to absorb, you know, if we do end up with periods of relatively weak growth, for example, they're very well positioned because there's no necessarily a trigger. So based on that, particularly within a closed-end fund, as long as we feel like these companies are well positioned to absorb some near-term weakness in the economy or what have you, we feel pretty good about those names.
Matt, thanks so much for joining me on the program and sharing the information.
No, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Chuck.
To learn more about interval funds, closed-end funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Matt Kentz, portfolio manager for the Aberdeen Credit Income Strategies Fund. It's ticker symbol ACP, and you can learn all about it at aberdeenacp.com. You can learn about the firm at abrdn.com. The Navigator Podcast is new every Friday. Ensure you don't miss anything by subscribing on your favorite podcast app. And if you like us, please leave a review. It really do help. Until we're together again, happy investing, everybody.